No matter what year it is, we always hear on the first Sunday of Lent about Jesus being in the desert. And he's in the desert. And in this year's gospel, we hear from the Gospel of Matthew. And there's an intentionality, I think, that we can easily overlook when we look at this weekend's gospel. And this intentionality I'm speaking about is in the very first line of the gospel. And it says that at that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. He was led by the Spirit. It wasn't just a chance that Jesus was in the desert, and it wasn't necessarily something that he did on his own, but he was led by the Spirit into the desert. There's something that's intentional about what's happening, not just in today's gospel, but really in all of our readings and how interrelated I think that these readings are. So if you look at the gospel today, here is Jesus in the desert. But let's rewind to the first reading. The first reading is the familiar story of Adam and Eve. Where? In the garden. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They too are tempted. And they turn into that temptation and, of course, effectively choose to sin. So they have turned away from God. Whereas Jesus is in the desert, he is surrounded by nothing. Adam and Eve are surrounded by everything. As they are surrounded by everything, they are given every opportunity to sin, and they do. Jesus, of course, being in the desert, is surrounded by nothing and is given every temptation to sin, and he doesn't. How easy it can be for you and I, you know, when we are tempted to sin, to want to go to that sin and to do it. And yet Jesus gives us the best example in this weekend's gospel of how we can turn away from those temptations. In this weekend's gospel, the devil really presents three different kinds of temptations as well. And those three different kinds of temptations are, I don't know if they're necessarily given any particular title, but if you look at them, you know, the first temptation, he says, is to turn these stones into bread. Turn these stones into bread. In other words, I think the devil is trying to tempt Jesus into satisfying himself. And how easy it can be for any of us to want to do the same, right? When we are hungry, when we are thirsty, when we long for, you know, some kind of a pleasure of the world, we would like to satisfy ourselves, and so we turn to that temptation. So here is Jesus being presented with that same temptation that you and I can be, and he says no. And then in that second temptation, he says, throw yourself down. In other words, he's trying to really tell him, prove yourself. Prove to everyone who you are. And you and I can be just as tempted at times as well to want to prove ourselves. I'll show him. I'll tell him. You know, I will correct him. Those of you who are married, I'll make sure that he knows that he's wrong. I'll make sure she knows that she's wrong, right? There's always that temptation, right, to want to correct or to prove ourselves. But what does Jesus do? He turns away from that sin of pride and instead says no. And finally, in the last temptation is that the devil takes him up to this very high mountain and he shows him all these kingdoms of the world. And of course, he says, all these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me. In some ways, I think, you know, very often we can even be tempted to worship ourselves. We can focus so much, you know, on the things about ourselves and become constantly inundated with ourselves. And what happens then is, you know, even look to you know, the all of salvation history, the kings and the people who have taken advantage of societies, dictators, things like this, they can easily worship themselves. And then what happens? But more and more corruption and sin. So Jesus turns that sin away. So over the course of salvation history, we've seen how many times, even in our own lives, that we've been tempted to turn to each of these things to prove ourselves, to pleasure and eat whatever we want, to even worship ourselves. And none of this gives life. There's an illusion that gives life. You know, like even if you look in the gospel, or in the book of Genesis, rather, that there's an illusion that if you and I turn to sin, that we can live in this beautiful garden. But it's just an illusion. Eventually that fades away, and those things come and go, but eternal life will remain, you know. And here's Jesus placing himself in the desert intentionally, because he's trying to show us that even in the midst of our own deserts, that we too are never alone. So when we are tempted, you know, it's good for us to remember that the Lord has been there. You know, the Lord has experienced the worry or the anxiety that you and I have. The Lord has experienced the struggle of loss that you and I have. The Lord has gone through it all, and he does it not just to worship himself, but to show us that he's with us. And this season of Lent is a great reminder for us to choose Christ. The second reading from St. Paul, he says that there have been two men, one who brought sin into the world and one who takes sin away. In these readings, we have those two men there, to choose to follow Adam or to choose to follow Christ. We want to choose to follow Christ. It's not always an easy route, but it is one, I think, that we are reminded of today that promises us the gift of eternal life. So as we enter this season of Lent, perhaps you've already broken your fasting. You know, maybe you've already done something wrong. Maybe you ate chicken on Friday. Whatever you did, if you've done anything wrong, remember that the Lord is with you. He's been there. He's close to you in your suffering, and he wants to remind you that he's present, not only here today, but each and every day.